Topics in History, The Lake County War by Madison Bash, published on January 11, 2019, Colorado Virtual Library. The Lake County War, as it has become known, was not actually a war at all in the traditional sense. Instead, it is the term used to describe the time period in what was once Lake County, now Chaffee County, from 1874 to 1881, during which law and order broke down and vigilante justice reigned. For nearly a century, details of the events of this time were based on scattered and varying accounts, questionable witness testimony, and even local legend. In recent decades, however, historians have gathered information from local news sources, court records, and family histories in order to piece together the events of this tumultuous time in Colorado's Arkansas River Valley. In the early morning hours of June 17, 1874, Lake County homesteader George Harrington raced from his home to a nearby outbuilding that was engulfed in flames. As Harrington and his wife attempted to extinguish the fire, which had been started deliberately, shots rang out and he was struck in the back and killed on the spot. Friends of Harrington were convinced he was murdered by a fellow Lake Countyan named Elijah Gibbs, with whom Harrington had recently quarreled over rights to an irrigation ditch. When Gibbs was acquitted of the murder in a Denver court, the late Harrington's friends and supporters took matters into their own hands. On the night of January 22, 1875, a posse of approximately 15 men surrounded Gibbs's cabin and demanded he come out to be lynched. When Gibbs refused, the group threatened to set fire to the home with Gibbs's family inside. As the group prepared to storm the cabin, Gibbs opened fire, hitting two of the men and causing one to accidentally fire on his own group, leaving all three dead. The posse left, and Gibbs and his family fled the area. However, Harrington's supporters were determined to get justice. The posse reformed with greater numbers and called themselves the Committee of Safety. Over the following months, the Committee of Safety rounded up many of Gibbs's alleged supporters, sympathizers, and fellow cattle rustlers. Many were tortured, while others were lynched. The committee's tactics for trying a defendant included questioning the accused with a noose around their neck and tightening it with each answer the committee disliked. The group is even believed to have been responsible for the shooting death of Judge Elias Dyer, son of the famed circuit rider Father John Dyer, after he issued warrants of arrest for 28 members of the Committee of Safety. The violence continued to a point that the governor of Colorado sent a special detective to the area to investigate the conflict and report back. However, the agent never uncovered anything of substance, and the violence continued for the next several years, causing many families to flee the area in fear for their safety. As time went on, the fervor of the committee members waned, and the violence eventually subsided. The last of the Lake County War deaths is believed to have taken place in 1881, but estimates of the death toll range anywhere from 10 to 100 over the course of the conflict. Among those lives allegedly claimed by the Lake County War were two brothers from the Boone family, distant relatives of the same Boone family that explored the Missouri Territory. Though many details of the Lake County War have been lost to time, a renewed effort by historians has uncovered new information regarding the motives and power dynamics of its key players. One thing that remains certain, though, is that the Lake County War was evidence of a Colorado that was still very much the Wild West. Jumpstart Your New Year with the Book Club Resource by Madison Bash, published on December 21st, 2018, Colorado Virtual Library. 2019 is just around the corner, and the Colorado State Library's Book Club Resource wants to help your book club ring in the new year right. Whether you want to focus on physical health, grow your mind, expand your global horizons, or just read more for fun, we have a title to inspire and prepare you for the coming year. If your library doesn't already have a book club, now is the perfect time to start one. Learn more about how the program works and enroll your library today. Then visit our online catalog and choose from hundreds of titles, all with five or more copies. You could be reading your favorite by New Year's Day. Don't know where to start? Check out these great inspirational titles from celebrated authors who will inspire, uplift, and transform the way you approach 2019. Dare Not Linger, The Presidential Years by Nelson Mandela and Mandla Longa. Dare Not Linger is the story of Mandela's presidential years, drawing heavily on the memoir he began to write as he prepared to finish his term in office but was unable to finish. Now, the acclaimed South African writer Mandla Longa has completed the task using Mandela's unfinished draft, detailed notes that Mandela made as events were unfolding, and a wealth of previously unseen archival material. With a prologue by Mandela's widow, Graca Machel, the result is a vivid and inspirational account of Mandela's presidency, a country in flux, and the creation of a new democracy. It tells the extraordinary story of the transition from decades of apartheid rule and the challenges Mandela overcame to make a reality of his cherished vision for a liberated South Africa. I Am Malala by Malala Yousafzai. I come from a country that was created at midnight. When I almost died, it was just after midday. When the Taliban took control of the Swat Valley in Pakistan, one girl spoke out. Malala Yousafzai refused to be silenced and fought for her right to an education. On Tuesday, October 9th, 2012, when she was 15, she almost paid the ultimate price. She was shot in the head at point-blank range while riding the bus home from school, and few expected her to survive. Instead, Malala's miraculous recovery has taken her on an extraordinary journey from a remote valley in northern Pakistan to the halls of the United Nations in New York. At 16, she became a global symbol of peaceful protest and the youngest nominee ever for the Nobel Peace Prize. I Am Malala is the remarkable tale of a family uprooted by global terrorism, of the fight for girls' education, of a father who, himself a school owner, championed and encouraged his daughter to write and attend school, and of brave parents who have a fierce love for their daughter in a society that prizes sons. I Am Malala will make you a believer in the power of one person's voice to inspire change in the world. Attending, Medicine, Mindfulness, and Humanity by Dr. Ronald Epstein, MD. In Attending, his first book, Dr. Epstein builds on his world-renowned innovative programs in mindful practice and uses gripping and deeply human clinical stories to give patients a language to describe what they value most in healthcare and to outline a roadmap for doctors and other healthcare professionals to refocus their approach to medicine. Drawing on his clinical experiences and current research and exploring four foundations of mindfulness, attention, curiosity, beginner's mind, and presence, Dr. Epstein introduces a revolutionary concept. By looking inward, healthcare practitioners can grow their capacity to provide high-quality care and the resilience to be there when their patients need them. The commodification of healthcare has shifted doctors' focus away from the healing of patients to the bottom line. Clinician burnout is at an all-time high. Attending is the antidote. With compassion and intelligence, Epstein offers a crucial, timely book that shows us how we can restore humanity to medicine, guides us toward a better overall quality of care, and reminds us of what matters most. Furiously Happy, a funny book about horrible things by Jenny Lawson. In Furiously Happy, a humor memoir tinged with just enough tragedy and pathos to make it worthwhile, Jenny Lawson examines her own experience with severe depression and a host of other conditions and explains how it has led her to live life to the fullest. I've often thought that people with severe depression have developed such a well for experiencing extreme emotion that they might be able to experience extreme joy in a way that normal people also might never understand. And that's what Furiously Happy is all about. Jenny's readings are standing room only, with fans lining up to have Jenny sign their bottles of Xanax or Prozac as often as they are to have her sign their books. Furiously Happy appeals to Jenny's core fan base, but it also transcends it. There are so many people out there struggling with depression and mental illness, either themselves or someone in their family. And in Furiously Happy, they will find a member of their tribe offering up an uplifting message via a taxidermied roadkill raccoon. Let's pretend this never happened, ostensibly was about embracing your own weirdness, but deep down, it was about family. Furiously Happy is about depression and mental illness, but deep down, it's about joy. And who doesn't want a bit more of that?